Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. Got a question for you. If you could talk to a younger self, I don't know, you could go back 10 years, and maybe for some, and going back 30 or 40 years, and you wanted to get some advice to yourself about marriage, about some of the choices you make in marriage, and about relationships, what would you tell yourself? We had such a great time last week on this topic, we thought we'd continue again today on really talking about if I had known then what I know now. You want to share that wisdom, not to be negative, but to encourage someone who's coming up behind you to maybe think about something going on in their life and the relationship and, you know, all the emotionality of dating and getting ready for marriage and wanting to really be clear in their minds. We have callers all ready to go, by the way. We'll get to those in a moment. But if you would like to share your story with us, your comment on this, or answer that question, give us a call on our storyline at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. And we certainly would love to hear from you. All right, let's get to our first caller today. Ray Lynn is on the line in Michigan. All right, here's the question, Ray Lynn. What would you tell a younger self if you could go back and talk to yourself? What would it be?
Well, okay, so Ray Lynn is still younger. I'm only 26, but something
so what
that
would you
I'm
tell
learning...
a 20? What would you tell a Ray Lynn at 25? You can go back as far as you want, Ray Lynn.
Oh, yeah, because this, I mean, this travels with me. Like, I can remember, you know, being even way younger and thinking it. And something I'm learning right now is, you know, oftentimes we're told to love others the way that God loves us, right, and to treat others that way. But oftentimes I feel like we forget to also love ourselves the way that God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in today's world, in society, I mean, you fall into those beauty standards with all the, you know, just transformations and beauty filters and all that stuff, and really, like, you end up hating yourself, you know, your real self, and that's like probably the biggest slap in the face to God.
Like, yeah, and you guys
that God thinks you're beautiful and everything.
No, I agree with you, and you all in the younger generation especially, facing what's going on with social media, is that pretty intimidating? Mm-hmm. To you, I mean, to you and your generation, is it, you think this is a pretty pervasive
yeah.
issue?
Oh, yeah, I think it is big time. You end up, like I said, like, you put a filter on, it makes you feel so good, and then as soon as the filter comes off, you're like, who is that? Like, that is not, I don't want to look like that.
Yeah.
You start thinking about, like, if I can just lift this piece of skin, if I could get rid of this, if I could have longer eyelashes, or all that other stuff, and really, like, none of that matters. You know,
that's
like,
right.
God thinks you're beautiful no matter what, and it doesn't even happen with just girls, but I have a younger brother, too, and, you know, when he looks at magazines and, like, sports guys, you know, they're all, like, built and muscular, and he's not. So then he starts, you know, comparing himself, and I'm like, you don't need to worry about that. Like, you're you, and
yeah.
that's all that matters.
How do you manage that? Do you stay away from those sites, or, I mean, you probably struggle with, how do you handle it?
So right now, because I am a mom of four, and I was noticing I was on my phone all the time, and also, like I said, comparing myself with, like, pictures and stuff like that. So I deleted all my social media apps. And I did it not only because I noticed, like my dad pointed out, every time I took a picture, I'd use a filter. So I knew that was an issue, and I didn't want to be that person anymore. But also I did it just simply because my kids deserve a more present mom, and my husband deserves a more present wife, and somebody that's not always, you know, putting themselves down and comparing themselves to these unrealistic beauty standards all the time.
Yeah. Good for you.
But that's what I've had to do.
So you have four kids?
Moving away. I have four kids, yes.
And how old did you say you are? Really?
26.
26, four kids.
I turned 26 on Friday. So.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. You'll be a young grandma someday.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully not too young.
Yeah, I understand. Well, thank you, Ray Lynn. That's a great perspective from someone from your generation to remind us that, especially now, you know, God sees us with no filters. He just sees who we are, loves us for who we are, doesn't need a filter to love us. And that's a good reminder. Appreciate your call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Glad you're listening. I was thinking about filters. Would that help me, Jennifer, to get a filter for my picture? It's It's going to have to be a top-end filter, I'll tell you that. Oh, yeah, I understand. That'd be a whole show talking about the stress that we have and how to be intentional with digital media and with the internet and what goes on with social media for people as well. All right, let me see here. Let's go to Deborah, who's on the phone as well. Deborah is in Arizona. Hi, Deborah. How you doing?
I am well, Randy. And yourself?
Good. Doing well. Thank you. Good. Appreciate your call. What would you tell a younger self?
I would tell myself to be more forgiving of myself. I spent the first several years of our marriage apologizing for everything. And my husband finally said, "Will you stop saying I'm sorry? It's not all your fault." And I think it was from how I was raised, being the second oldest of seven kids and the oldest girl. There was a lot of responsibility. And we heard a lot about all the things we did wrong, but not so much the good things. And anyway.
So your husband was a help to you.
He was. He was. We've been married 48 years, and he's quite the helper. But and also we did a Holy Spirit seminar at church a few years ago, and I realized I was still carrying guilt, and that I needed to forgive myself literally, so I could move on and be the person that God wants me to be.
Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear it. Sometimes it takes us a few years to get to the place we wish we'd have been at when we were younger, right, Deborah?
Quite a few.
But we never stop learning. At least we shouldn't.
Correct.
That's for sure. Correct. All right. Well, thank you for your call. Yeah. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Randy.
All right. Tell you what, Amanda, hang on. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Take your call from Arizona Live and what you've learned you want to share with others in about a minute or so.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. We've all been discouraged. Perhaps a relationship didn't pan out, or you didn't get that job you applied for, or maybe your life hasn't gone as you expected.
When people become discouraged, it's usually because they've first been disappointed. Our formula is expectation minus reality equals disappointment. Because disappointment always follows something that we expect that doesn't turn into reality.
In Dr. Randy's message, Overcoming Discouragement, he provides you with practical advice for how to not let discouragement get in the way and how to find your strength in Christ. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. Thank you for your prayers and support. Thank you for standing with us. I just want to say we couldn't do this without your prayers and without your support, and we appreciate it. Again, if you want to know more, what is intentional living? What does it mean to be an intentional person of intentionality when it comes to your faith and your family and the things that matter? You can check it out at theintentionallife.com. Today, we're just kind of reflecting back on one thing you wish you'd known or you did know and you didn't apply, but you know now, to a younger self. Let's find out what Amanda has to contribute from Arizona.
Hello.
Hi, Amanda. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What would you tell a younger self?
Well, you know, we see truth unfold before our eyes every day, whatever the truth of that day is. And, you know, the truth of God's word has been evident to me since childhood and, you know, just through the years, letting my own little deception from whatever the world offers, you know, instead of Christ. And, you know, learning to live wishing I knew then the truth and accepted it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Instead of knowing and seeing it evident, but not following it or accepting it, you know? And so
that's a pretty universal problem. We think we're smarter than when we're growing up. We think we're smarter than our parents. And then if we can, even as we become a young believer, it's easy for us to think we're smarter than God. And over the year, I think what happens over the years as we get beat up in life, I mean that in figurative terms, we get, you know, emotionally or relationally, we start to realize that our dependence is on Him. And that's what I hear in your voice. Hey, I wish I'd learned that back then have to go through all this stuff to get to where I am today.
Well, that's what I'm calling today. I need to let Him know, you know, before the world that, you know, I haven't been living that. I haven't been trusting in Him, and I've been trusting in everything else but Him. And I'm finally, you know, hitting my bottom, I guess you could say, where I'm realizing all those people that He put in my life to get my faith with Him and God's word, and everybody telling me to read God's word. And I know, but I can't. And today I need to own up and say, you know what? God gave me this grace, and I'm grateful for it. And so I got to start living in it.
Well, let me ask you, do you know Christ personally? Have you given your life to Him?
Yes, I did.
Amen.
2 years ago in July, I gave my life to the Lord, and I thought I had known that my whole life, you know, but I really didn't. And then this last couple of years has been put to the test, and I've been failing it. And I, you know, He's given me too much grace to keep failing, you know, and letting Him down, who gave me so much more, you know.
He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, no matter what you're going through. And I understand those deep valleys, you can feel like God's way distant. Are you feeling kind of like a reset point in your life? Like, hey, I know this, and I've accepted Christ. It's time to really start living it intentionally. Yeah. Is that what you're really saying?
Yes.
Okay, listen. Think about it in terms of a reset today. Just like when you reboot a computer or reboot your phone, it's sort of like, hey, I'm turning off the old, I'm turning off what ain't working, and I'm turning on what I know. Now, do you have some people in your life, you implied you have some people in your life that you trust, but you kind of not included them.
I alienated from them all.
What's that?
I've alienated from them all because, you know, my own pride, I guess. You know.
What about picking up the phone to that one person? I don't know if it's a parent or a sibling or whatever, and say, I've been wrong and I've alienated you and I really need to connect with you.
I will do that as soon as I hang up with you guys.
Is there someone, you know who that person's going to be? You know who that's going to be? Okay. Can I pray with you?
Yes. Her name is Pam, Miss Pam.
Okay. Can I pray for you that Pam will be receptive when you call and that you will proceed and realize, hey, listen, the beauty of being at the bottom is you can look up.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. I've talked to a lot of people at the bottom. I guess that's what you do when you're in the kind of work I'm in. You talk to people at the bottom, and I tell them, look, be reminded, God's mercies are new every morning. The sun's coming up tomorrow. It can be a better day, and I don't want to be Pollyanna about this, but the reality is we can make a decision to say, God, I am sick and tired of this. I need you, and I'm going to make better decisions starting today, and I'm going to get some people in my life. And I'm going to take these baby steps. I'm going to have maybe two steps forward and a step back, whatever. But that I'm at the bottom and I'm going to stop digging and I'm going to start moving in a better direction in my life. And if what I hear you say, Amanda, that's something that you want to start doing today.
Yes.
All right. Can I pray with you?
Yes.
All right. Father, I do pray for Pam, for Amanda and for Pam. As she picks up that phone and she calls her friend Pam, that Pam will be receptive, that her heart will be tenderized. Maybe she's been hurt. Maybe she feels alienated and distant. I don't know. But I pray you'll open the door for that. And even if that door doesn't open, that she'll find another door, that she will continue to reach out and find that connection point, because there are people in her life who love her and are concerned for her and want the best for her, just like we do and you do as her father. And I pray that you'll encourage her to take that step today and not give up. When she falls down, to get back up, trust you and keep moving, knowing that you're with her today, that you'll reach down, courage your heart, lift her up, draw her to yourself, and help her to that next step. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Amanda, listen, we got a lot of people who will be praying for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
And I do have a chain of women to call to for my church. So.
All right. Then you keep calling and you keep connecting and you keep reaching out. One of the best ways to start digging, getting out of the pit is to have some people help you out. Sharon's going to join us here in Georgia. Hey, Sharon, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Good. Good. What do you wish you'd known as a younger Sharon?
That people's opinions of me mattered a whole lot less than what my life was all about.
Mm.
I was always real conscious of, do they like me? I was shy and I had a hard time getting to know people. And it really crippled a lot. And I'm 65 now. And in the last 10 or 15 years, I've learned to stand on my own. And if you like me, you like me. And if you don't, you don't, but I'm not changing to fit your pattern. I'm going to continue to march to mine. And I wish I'd have known that when I was 20 or 25.
Yeah,
because I'd have been a lot happier.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, and a lot of people, you know, we've written books and done conferences on pleasers and, you know, the Bible is Christians. The Bible says that we are to think not only of our own interest, but the interest of others. But I don't know of any place in Scripture where the Bible really tells us to be a doormat,
right.
You know, turn the other cheek. I get that. I mean, that takes strength to turn the other cheek. But you stand, you're there, but you're there because you love that person. But at the same time, not to be in a place where you always have to be pleasing people. Is that the way you kind of grew up? You feel like you had to please everybody?
Yes, it was. It was very much impressed on us that as women, we were supposed to be pleasant and we were supposed to be responsible and we were supposed to be obedient. But I spent probably the first 10 or 15 years of my marriage walking on eggshells.
Mm.
So I wouldn't trip his trigger temper, which was when he got mad, he was very angry and I had to learn to walk away from it.
Yeah.
And just not engage. If things didn't go his way, he could be very unpleasant. And I finally picked up and said, enough. I'm done. I'm not walking on eggshells. If you're not happy with something, you need to talk about it like a civilized person. But if you want to pitch a temper tantrum, I'm out of here.
Wow. So how did he respond to that?
He wasn't too thrilled at first. But it really helped our relationship overall. We were married right at 41 years before he passed away, so evidently it worked to a certain level. He never did get to where he totally controlled his temper. He could be very crabby, very irritable about things, and part of it was his background with his parents and his family, and I said, that's okay that I understand where it comes from, but you have to control yourself.
Yeah.
And he really did well most of the time. And after we had those few conversations.
How did you feel? Let me ask you, how did you feel being able to stand up to that in terms of just addressing that with him? How did that make you feel afterward?
Oh, it made me feel good.
Yeah.
I felt like I had finally taken control of me, which was scary to me to a certain point.
And the world
because
didn't.
I'd always been, you know, I was the one that I told somebody one time that whatever else they put on my tombstone, it's going to say she was responsible. And I felt like I was responsible for everything.
Yeah.
If you're not happy, then it's my fault. If you're upset, it's my fault.
If it's raining out, it's your fault.
Right. That's kind of how I felt about things.
Yeah, and I think
whatever's wrong, it's my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to get over that.
And as you did, you realize as you develop that what I would call a healthy assertiveness. We got a lot of unhealthy assertiveness in our culture. Let's face it. There's some people who are just plain overly assertive. I mean, they're bossy and controlling. That's not assertiveness. Assertiveness is being able to say, hey, you know, can we talk about this? I'm not happy about this. This is something we need to discuss. And what happens, I think, was you realize when you do that, the world didn't fall apart. In fact, your husband probably respected you more because you were willing to share your heart and what's going on and put some boundaries in place, which is important. Okay, thank you. I appreciate your call. That was a really interesting discussion from Georgia. Thank you, Sharon. We're talking about this whole thing of, you know, what would you tell a younger self? Yeah? All right, let's go to some of the comments that came in on our comment line to wrap up the show today. Let's go to Michelle. Let's hear what she has for us.
Well, I am 55 years young, and I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 11 years old. And if I could go back, I would tell that younger me, Michelle, remember these things. There is no love in the universe that exists that is greater than the love of God. Your worth, your identity, your purpose, and your meaning come from God and God alone. Press into Him, stay under the protective cover of His wings. Seek His discernment, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on a daily basis. Obey Him and trust Him in all ways, and you can't go wrong, because He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it, and He works all things together for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I've had a very rough life and endured a lot of things and made a lot of bad choices throughout my life. And you can avoid all of that stuff if you just press into Jesus, be obedient to Him, and be who He tells you to be.
Boy, that's a great reminder, Michelle. And I was thinking as you were sharing that really powerful testimony that even pressing into the Lord and trusting Him is an act of intentionality. And I think it's important for us to understand that as Christians, we talk about trusting the Lord and putting our faith in the Lord. These are acts that we intentionally decide to do. And God is faithful. He is there. He's waiting for us. He's like a daddy with his arms wide open, you know, and wanting us, but the child making that step in that direction. He's not moving. He's there for you. And that's why this ministry is so important. As we remind ourselves, it's not just about the things that we obviously think about, being intentional with our money or being intentional in our marriage or being intentional when it comes to work. And we get that. But sometimes I think we fail to realize that intentional living is also about building that relationship with Christ, trusting Him, reading His word, being intentional about prayer, about silence, waiting on Him, just to being in His presence and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. These are all acts of intentionality. So it's not only in those areas that are so obvious to us, but sometimes in the spiritual area, to understand as well that we need to be intentional.
When people become discouraged, it's usually because they've first been disappointed. And after people become discouraged, they go to disillusionment. And what we've seen in counseling and working with marriages over the years, people go through this exact formula before they get divorced. There's an expectation, there's a reality, and then there's always disappointment. I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed in my spouse, I'm disappointed in me and God, the community, the pastor, the church, any number of things. Then I get discouraged. And when people get discouraged, pretty soon they get disillusioned. And when people get disillusioned, they want to give up. And maybe you're in this stage. I think we all experience this. This one, I think, is something that happens to us a lot. A hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's what that formula is right there.
This is from the featured lesson that we've put up for you all here in this month of March. And it's on the topic of overcoming discouragement. You heard me teach that an expectation not met creates, well, disappointment and then discouragement and ultimately disillusionment. You know, I've seen people, and maybe you're one, that, you know, you've had discouragement in your life, you've had disappointment in your life, but you seem to have a higher tolerance, spiritually and otherwise, to deal with these things in a very healthy way, but still being intentional. And I know other people that as soon as they become, well, discouraged or disappointed, they sort of throw in the towel. And this is the point where intentional living comes in, that we can trust God and be faithful and really hanging on to the truth
and taking some of it, even though it's difficult for us. All right. Hey, by the way, that lesson is now up and available on our website. It's all because of the faithful prayers and support of our Intentional Living members who support the ministry in prayer and financial support each and every month. And if you're not a member, would you come and join me and our team? I'm not asking you to do something we don't do. We support the ministry actively and regularly, and we thank you for doing the same. If you could join us monthly, we'd appreciate it. How do you do that? All you have to do is call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or you can go on over to theintentionallife.com and click on that donate icon and to be a part of the ministry today. And I want to say on behalf of our team here, my wife, my family, and of course, Stephen and Jennifer and the rest of the team, thank you. God bless you for your support today. We appreciate it. All right. I think we've got time for just one more comment from our comment line. So take a listen to this powerful story and reminder from one of our listeners, which, by the way, we always welcome yours as well. So go right ahead, Anna.
If I could tell something to my younger self, I would tell myself, you need God in your daily life. You need to go to church. I used to think I have God in my life because I believe in Him. But little did I know, didn't know God at all, like I do now. And honestly, I don't know how I did it all these years without Him, because the last 3 or 4 years in my life has just been amazing. That's something I would definitely tell my younger self.
Thank you, Anna. Listen, to each of you who took time to call to be a part of the show, those of you who have called and commented on our comment line, we leave that open to you. And if you would like to tell us one thing you would tell a younger you, what would it be? Call 888-888-1717. Please take a few minutes and stop by our website at theintentionallife.com. A lot of helpful information there, resources, our access to our blogs, to our Intentional Living Minutes, to all of our past programs. All there you can find out at theintentionallife.com. To our Facebook friends who are joining us for the show, thank you for being a part of the Intentional Living Ministry. And a special giant thank you to all of our support team, those of you who so faithfully have joined with us, been a part of this, and continue with this on a regular monthly basis. Thank you for your support. And then to my team here, thank you, Jennifer, our engineer, Stephen, our senior producer who pulls all this together, Gino making sure Facebook is working live and well, and then especially to my wife, Donna. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow with more Intentional Living.